everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Derek Johnson, joined by Eric Astroslager.
Hi there.
Mac McIntyre.
How can do.
Daryl Loomis.
Howdy.
And we're still working off our huge Busters after-party hangovers. I don't know about you guys, but it's crazy.
The PCP hangover is the worst.
PCP gets worse and worse each
No, man. It's too old for this. But
I'm still finding statuettes in the darndest places.
It is just craziness. But we're here. We're going to soldier on and help you get through your weekend. So let's get right to it. Mac, you got anything to report? You see anything?
Let's see. Yeah, you know, it's they're calling it one of the biggest flops of all time. Nobody went to see it, but I actually did go see 47 Ronin.
Excellent. Right, and?
It is just perfectly, perfectly mediocre.
It is.
Right center in the middle of the road.
It seems it's hard to do with that kind of movie. It seems like it'd either be pretty cool or just vomit-inducing.
Yeah, the trailer makes it look terrible.
Right.
Yeah. It's your basic, like, high fantasy movie, only set with, you know, dragons and witches and magic and stuff. But instead of dressed up as old-timey Europe, it's dressed up as old-timey Japan. So don't even bother with any of this business about historical accuracy, because there's dragons.
It's based on a famous Japanese folktale. It's like the Japanese folktale from what I've heard.
That's true, yeah. Okay. But they take some liberties. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a folktale. I mean, dragons existed, obviously, but I mean, like, the rest of it is probably... I've seen Game of Thrones, is what I'm saying, so I know that dragons... What were you going to say, Daryl? Huh.
What was I going to say?
You were asking about Keanu Reeves?
Oh, yeah. Is he one of the Ronin?
Yes and no. He's like this guy who was adopted by the Ronin and grew up with them all, so he knows how to fight and stuff.
Okay, so they have an out that he's clearly not Japanese.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
he's very, like, mystical because he's an orphan. He learns that where he came from was all supernatural and magical, and that helps them out in their adventures.
Gotcha.
It's more like two Ronin and 45 background extras. Because it's Keanu Reeves and the other guy, they're the two heroes, and the other Ronin just kind of stand around and not do a whole lot.
Gotcha.
And lots of stories about how the movie was troubled behind the scenes, and the studio took the final edit away from the director and stuff. And you can tell there was a lot of people were redubbed, you can tell, so they're saying different things what they were originally meant to say. So I wonder if we're ever going to see that original version or not. But, yeah, I don't know. It just kind of left me with a shrug, you know. I didn't hate it, but it wasn't a standout either.
So I figure a good verdict kind of would be how the number of stars given to the film is equal to the number of people in the theater with you.
that's it was pretty small. We were in one of the theaters where it was one of the smaller
Yes.
rooms or the smaller houses.
Yes.
So not a lot of seats to begin with.
The men's room, also known as, right?
Practically.
All right. Well, someone's got to brave that, and we appreciate you doing that, Mac. So, Daryl, how about you?
All right. So after this past Thursday, I'm just going to go ahead and say that thankfully and happily, Community is back to where it belongs.
Yes. I would say so, yeah.
All three episodes have been really good, but that one in particular had that Dan Harmon touch that the last season was at their very best missed the boat on entirely. But it just had every little thing in place, tiny little jokes and callbacks and the stupid Ben Folds song at the end. And the whole thing just worked out to maybe not their best episode, but the best episode in a year and a half, and that end sequence in that episode, I think might be the most skillfully done sequence that the show's ever done.
All right. And so, all in all, would you say happy? Happy with it?
Very happy. Especially as I recently, before the season started, rewatched season 4, you know, to stab myself in the foot a few times.
Yes.
and even though, you know, by the end of the season, they start to get their stuff together a little bit and start to have it make a little more sense and gel a little bit. It was never there. And the first episode of the new season was nice. The second episode gave me a little more confidence, and this one basically cemented it for me that that Dan Harmon touch is so necessary for that show. And it was great. I was thrilled, and I've read that from reviewers that the next episode is also excellent. So
excellent. All right.
So I'm happy.
Season 4 wasn't terrible, but it just felt very slight. Like there wasn't anything beneath the surface.
Well, and yeah, it was a question of when you compare it, season 4, to other sitcoms, to Two Broke right. Girls or something, it's still better than that. But you can't, you know, you can't give me the world's best cheddar cheese and then give me Kraft Extra Sharp and expect me to like it. It's still better than Velveeta. But that doesn't make it good.
Wow, that's that right. Metaphor really went off the rails there for a bit. We get what you're saying. We get what you're saying. I like it. All right. So so the world is spinning back on its axis in a little ways, right?
Yes.
Very good.
Sure.
Hi, Eric.
Another TV thing. I was going to talk about Community, but we just did. Netflix recently added the last 4 seasons of Dexter. So they have all of Dexter on there now, and I watched the last 2 because I hadn't seen those yet. So season 7 and 8, and it's been a long time since I really cared about the show or thought it was like really great. So I think my expectations were pretty low. I thought they were fine seasons. I didn't love the last episode, and the actual ending kind of left me a little cold, but it was okay. I know, Mac, you're kind of more invested in the show.
Yeah, I was a big fan, and season 8 was a real disappointment.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not great. I didn't mind the things that they changed and some of the new characters that they added in the last 2 seasons. But you know, at that point, it's kind of up for grabs. The actual finale, the actual ending of the finale, just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, as it did a lot of people. But kind of what came before it was okay. I sort of take it, I mean, for me, part of it is it's been a long time since I really like loved that show. And part of it is I read like 3 or 4 of the books, and the books are just nutty. I mean, the things that they do like by the 3rd book are so off the rails insane that it makes the TV show look completely sensical.
Yeah, but it totally it's an outlier though. That book was crazy, but it was an outlier because the you know, book after it, it's like it never happened.
It was a bit. I'm thinking more specifically, and I hesitate because I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't read the books. But I mean, like the thing they do with the kids is just insane.
In which one?
I think they introduced.
Oh yeah, that is crazy.
In the
You're
third
right.
book, but basically, like that's the status quo from then on out.
Yeah,
I mean, things are different, but like introducing that concept.
Yeah, that's pretty
is
crazy.
Crazier than anything that happened in the TV show at all. It makes anything that happened in the last few seasons seem completely actually, normal. Even the off the rail stuff with Bev and Dexter in the last like the end of season 5 or whatever,
right.
6 or 6 or. I don't know.
I was thinking of the weird fantasy horror, Cthulhu elements that pop.
Yeah. The third book was like all supernatural.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Remember correctly, but
really odd.
Yeah.
I
gotta stop reading those. Anyway.
Yeah, for me, I got a little bit of old news with Dave. So picking up your, I sit around bored the last couple of days at night while my wife was watching, I don't know, whatever she watches. So I fired up Netflix and caught 2 movies that had eluded me that I felt I ought to watch. The first was The Expendables Part 2, which I'd never seen until – and I would say, like on paper, it looks like the dumbest movie ever. But in practice, man, I had a good enough time with it. It was really a ridiculous love letter to action movie fans. And to me, it was – more like with the first one I was expecting to be, you know? So, I mean, just Van Damme just cheesing out and Chuck Norris and Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis. I mean, it was all hands on deck and so ridiculous. I mean, all the – like, they just wasted all these guys. It was just like a parade of cannon fodder. So, nothing really made sense. They were just kind of wiped out. But and there was – the jokes were really bad, but it was just this big, corny – R-rated action mess that just charmed me. And I'm not going to say it's a good movie, but I think I may have had more fun with it than the first one. So, because it didn't – the first one took itself way more seriously. The second one was not a serious movie. So
I seem to recall complaints. I haven't seen it. That kind of Chuck Norris dragged it down a bit.
I don't know. He had glorified cameos.
Yeah, okay. It's really just a cameo. Yeah.
I mean, this movie
maybe that's like on set stuff that I heard about.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. Chuck Norris is. I don't know. Who knows?
Huh. Apparently, Eric has something out to get. Well, we need to cultivate an Eric Chuck Norris rivalry somehow.
A bite of gold, I guess.
But the other Norris. One was I heard about this movie forever. I just stumbled across it while browsing, and it's Ricky O, the story of Ricky.
Oh yes.
Yeah, finally tuned into that, and that is pretty glorious filth. Just ridiculous gore, super low budget. But, I mean, the stuff they do is just, you know, one trying to strangle the guy with his own intestines, tying his tendons together so he can fight, and then shoving the final boss into a meat grinder. I thought that was quite interesting. So
when he rips the guy's face off, that was always my favorite.
Rips the guy's face off is good, or gives him an uppercut and blows up his chin, and I don't know. I mean, it's all practical, so that, you know, thumbs up for that. So, but I mean, it's so obvious the dummies and the prosthetics being used. Good times. So
I don't know. Strangling someone to death with their intestines sounds impractical to me. But
yeah, that's true. Well, you gotta make do with what you can. So
yeah.
So yeah. So good times. All right. Let's reset it, Mac. Stuff. You got anything for the site of interest?
Let's see. What am I working on for the site? I'm finishing up the third season of Being Human, which is the show on the Sci-Fi Channel. Not to be confused with Almost Human, which is another show on cable.
Isn't there a Being Human on BBC too, though?
This is the remake, the American remake of the BBC show.
Gotcha.
They've starting with the second season on, they've been telling their own stories and not just repeating what the BBC did. The show's kind of a pleasant surprise. With this third season, they've taken everything in really crazy new directions. And they've made huge, just like major changes to all the characters and kind of the world. So that's kind of exciting to see, is that they're really, breaking the mold and trying something new. And it really gives the actors a lot more to play with. And it makes the show interesting, and you don't know what's going to happen next. So it's not the best show in the world, but I find it like really addictive. You know, I want to see what's going to happen next, even though it's kind of cheesy.
Now, Mac, did you watch the BBC show?
I saw the first season.
Okay.
I haven't seen the later seasons.
I think I watched four of the seasons. I feel like the first three were good. It's kind of like Misfits. I've probably talked about the show before, where it was good for a certain number of seasons, and then they basically reset the cast because everyone left. And
the cast, they were getting movie offers and stuff, so a bunch of the actors left, yeah.
All right, good. Daryl.
Back to TV. This week for the show, I'm reviewing Archer season 4, and I'm a big fan of Archer. For me, the best animated show on television. And even though a lot of people felt like, and arguably it is a little bit of a step down this season from maybe the previous two, the animation is continuing to improve. And some of the backgrounds almost look photorealistic. There's actually some really neat backgrounds, and you know, it's like four or five members of the Arrested Development cast and Jessica Walters, and I just can't get enough of her. And so a good season, not a great DVD necessarily, or not a great Blu-ray necessarily, but for any fans of it, enjoy the setting while you can, because on Monday season 5 premiered, and Adam Scott, the creator, quite literally blew up the whole thing. The whole show is different now.
Wow.
All actually,
of a sudden. I just finished watching the first season. I hadn't watched it. Yeah. I like it.
It's an excellent show, and it gets better. Some of the side characters, Judy Greer's character, Carol, gets more involved. Pam gets more involved. And in this season, she's voiced by an actress named Amber Nash, I believe is her name, really comes into her own in the character, and she's really, really good. But yeah, in this, I won't spoil anything. But they basically changed the entire premise to this is all after season 4 was their best rated show or the best rated season of the series. They just blow it up. They change the setting. They change the plot structure. They changed everything. So it's kind of a bold move from Adam Scott, and I'm curious to see where it goes. And I think because the characters are so well drawn, it's going to work gangbusters.
All right. Nice. Eric.
This week I'm reviewing Captain Phillips, the Tom Hanks, Paul Greengrass movie. And this is one I hadn't seen in the theaters. And even though I heard good things about it, for some reason, like the trailer and the ads, it made me – I don't know. The based on a true story is never necessarily a something that piques my interest. And for some reason, I had in my head this was like directed by Ron Howard or something. I don't know why. But it's really good. Paul Greengrass, obviously a good action thriller kind of director. And this is a very tension-filled movie. Tom Hanks plays the captain of a cargo ship that gets taken over by Somali pirates, and he's kidnapped. And it's kind of all about the rescue mission and just the steps that happen along the way, where people try to take control of situations and they get out of control. And it's really good. I liked it a lot.
Very nice. And actually, I'll throw a quick TV show kind of from two segments ago. But Banshee is back for season two on Cinemax, which I'm very interested, which is very entertaining. So Banshee. But anyway, for me. That's the most interesting I could tell you right now, because unless you want to hear about 12 Disasters, a made-for-TV sci-fi movie about the apocalypse coming and it's somehow connected with the 12 Days of Christmas song.
Really?
And there's also some Mayan apocalypse stuff involved. And there's a girl who's Mayan, even though she's the most Caucasian girl I've ever seen, and she's got a power to stop it, and then
that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, just looked this up. This looks rad.
It sounds like it might be a movie where the Wikipedia summary is better than the movie itself.
I think so.
That's sci-fi, though.
Yeah.
Beware, sci-fi.
No, it's rough. So.
Yeah. But the idea sounds like a good idea.
So here's the tagline: "Not a city was standing, not even a house." Pretty good. Pretty good. So
that should be like not a building was standing, not even a house. I mean, cities aren't made of houses.
I don't know.
I don't want to pick the tagline of a sci-fi original movie about the end of the world tied into the 12 Days of Christmas.
But your point, but your point did. Is well taken.
Give the interns one more pass on that. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
All right. Well, that's all I have for you. So, and we don't have a ton on the upcoming. Release docket, so we'll move on, Max. Sorry, we'll have to table your intro until next week.
No problem.
So we'll get right into our ambush topics. You're making pretty good time on this podcast. So, Daryl, why don't you kick us off?
All right, I'm going to go with a topic that that was my other choice from a few weeks ago in Jason's first go-around because I can't think of a good one. In light of the ice storm from like a month ago, Entombed in Ice.
Entombed in Ice.
All right, I'm going to go with the movie, what's it called, Rare Exports, the Finnish Evil Santa Claus movie from a few years back.
No idea what you're talking about.
Okay, I believe it's on Netflix, Dave. So
okay.
If you're bored some night.
I guess it's
pretty interesting. It's a movie basically these kids, I think it's Finland, on the Russian border, kind of realize that these scientists are trying to unearth the real Santa Claus, who is this giant horned demon that would eat children. And they get to a point in the movie where they don't quite show Santa Claus, which is a little disappointing, except that they're clearly working within their own budgetary limitations, so I respect that. But basically you see like a giant like block of ice with like horns sticking out of it, and you know that Santa Claus is in there. So
nice.
Entombed in Ice.
I believe the residents of Tiras Lien were enshrined in ice when Bavmorda cast her
those big blocks of ice
evil magic on them. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So unfortunate. Too bad for them.
Along the same lines, another from George Lucas was Empire Strikes Back. The Wampa Snow Beast gets a hold of Luke and takes him to his ice cave. Hands him upside down.
Is carbonite considered an ice-like substance?
I would have accepted carbonite.
You would have?
Probably. Yeah. Well, he is frozen in carbonite.
They say he's frozen in carbonite, right?
So, yeah. It doesn't have to be water ice. I don't care.
Okay, nice.
I'm not a chemistry stickler.
All right. Isn't that the name of the new Spider-Man villain? The chemistry stickler.
Probably. Probably.
All right, so just me?
Yes.
All right, then. I'm going to go with my favorite sketch from my childhood days of Saturday Night Live and go with Phil Hartman's Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
That's good.
Now, it's technically not Entombed in Ice, but previously was. So.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, I'll go next. Big AFC Championship game coming up this Sunday between the New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos. So
going down so hard.
Who's going down, Peyton?
Patriots.
Patriots. Oh. We'll see. We shall see. Good. Yeah. I like that. We got some sports squabbling on this podcast. So here's your – just give me a horse and a soldier. Your call. And they don't have to even be in the same movie.
I've never seen it, but War Horse.
Okay, correct.
It's a horse, and yes. I said it's a soldier because it's a war.
All right, wow. You
am I right?
Fine.
I mean, both. Right?
That's
both.
Good. Very both good.
Horse. Boom.
Yeah, so and you take your horse and your soldier, and if they're in different movies, you put them together in a movie. So that just occurred to me now. So.
All right, well, I'm going to avoid that and go with Paul Revere in 1776.
Okay. That's good. What? And the horse, what do you got?
He's on the horse.
Oh, the horse is riding?
Horse, the famous Midnight Ride.
Okay.
Midnight Ride.
The ride, I gotcha. All right, so you guys are streamlining this. That's good.
I'm going to go with the horse angle with Shadowfax from Lord of the Rings.
Nice.
Gandalf does this big intro about Shadowfax is the greatest of all horses, and the music swells, and horse comes running out in slow motion. But after that, he doesn't really do anything.
It is, yeah.
Means of transportation.
I mean, it starts like a tampon commercial and then just ends for nothing. Yeah. Right, it is a conveyance, Shadowfax. Yeah, who's your soldier?
Soldier? Let's see. That's a good soldier. I don't know, that one-eyed orc guy who spit at the rock when it crashed, landed on him.
That's good.
So I say now, is he a soldier or a terrorist?
That's wild.
Well, it depends on what side of the
So whoever wins makes those rules, I guess.
All right.
Well, I guess the soldier, I'm going to go with two different movies. So I'm just going to go with Mel Gibson himself, The Patriot. In a movie I don't remember liking and don't remember much of at all, but I remember he ran towards the camera in slow motion shouting. So Mel Gibson, The Patriot, and I will put him on the steed. One of my all-time favorite movie horses, Artax.
Well, sure.
He met a sad fate.
That never-ending story, correct?
That's correct.
This is where we imagine Mel Gibson sinking into the swamp of sadness or whatever.
Well, he's pulling on Artax, and he's so sad. So, it's unfortunate. Oh, it's bringing a tear to my eye just now. Thank you.
I know.
And on a final note on this, I am currently wearing Denver Broncos socks.
Wow.
Go Broncos.
You feel pretty confident about Mr. Peyton Manning.
I don't exactly. I am a nearly 40-year Bronco fan.
Very good. But be honest. You got to be quivering a little bit, right?
I think the Broncos are the better team. But the Patriots beat them earlier in the year.
I don't think anyone would argue with that. Who has more pressure on them, you think?
I think the Broncos definitely.
Yeah, I think so. So we'll see.
Now, Jarrett, would you care to bet any of Dave's money on this?
I'll bet all of Dave's money.
Okay. All right. I will see all of Dave's money with all of Dave's money.
All right, we'll split it.
All right, so tune in next week to see
whether Dave is broke or breaks even.
Yeah. It's a win-win for me. That's what we call it. Win-win. Okay. Well, good luck to you, Daryl. May the best.
Good luck to you.
Hopefully it should be an epic game. It should be an epic game. All right, Mac, you're on.
Oh, new topic? Okay.
That's
outrageous.
More about Artax and Mel Gibson.
We'll move on from there.
All right.
My topic is outrageous old ladies.
Wow. I'm going to find her name really fast because she's fantastic. It is the old woman from the foul-mouthed old woman from The Running Man.
Oh, wow.
That she goes up with Richard Dawson and cusses a bunch. What is her name? I want to know her name because she's fantastic.
Well, we'll get our intern on that.
Yeah.
Intern on that.
I'll chime in with the name when I find it.
How about Betty White from Lake Placid?
Oh.
Isn't she feeding the giant
Yeah, that she was the mastermind behind all the croc attacks.
That's right, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. Sly move, writers of Lake Placid.
is that where the Betty White began, resurgence began?
You know what?
Mid-90s?
It's possible. That's kind of tapered off, has it not?
It has a bit. It has a bit, yeah.
A little, yeah.
Okay, old, I assume she's got to be female. Mac, I hope I'm not stepping on your toes with this one, but I'm going to go on the Dark Crystal. Augra is kind of a she's an outrageous old female creature of some sort.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah. With that she can pop out and she takes on all those beetle things, whatever they're called.
The Garthim.
The Garthim, that's it. Garthim, yes.
All right, we back to me?
Yep.
For mine, I went back to the 1970s Shaw Brothers kung fu movie, The Magic Blade. And one of the villains in The Magic Blade is Devil Grandma.
Oh, nice. All right.
And Devil Grandma is both a martial artist and a demolitions expert. So when you see her in close-up, she's just this old lady with these misshapen teeth, and she kind of walks like a hunchback. But then they cut to the long shot. And she starts busting out all these kung fu moves and is doing the wire foo, jump through the air and throwing sticks of dynamite at their heroes and everything's blowing up. I'm going to assume that part was the stunt woman. And because then they cut back to her and it's the old lady again. She's definitely the best part of that movie.
Yes. What's her name again?
Devil Grandma.
Yeah, fantastic.
Also Martin Lawrence movie, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Eric, cap it off.
All right, my topic is covered with a sheet.
Well, the classic, of course, is got to be Halloween, right?
Ah, damn.
Good.
Michael Myers comes in. He's worked out the glasses over the sheet. And what's her name? PJ Souls. PJ Souls, right? She thinks it's his boyfriend.
Yep. Yeah. Blonde wants her boyfriend, and it's not her boyfriend. Plus, the thing that always confused me about that scene is that Michael Myers is like 7 inches taller than her boyfriend, and she just doesn't get that. Holy cow, you're on stilts. That's really sexy.
And if it was the glasses on the outside of the sheet, like that would work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's clearly his glasses, so.
It is, sure. It's obviously
gotta be him. I mean, the growth spurts happen after all. Nobody steals glasses.
I'm gonna go with the dead couple from Beetlejuice when they were trying to scare. Yeah. Winona Ryder and her family. They were parading around in mom's designer sheets, I believe.
Designer sheets, yeah.
Which reminds me, I need to watch Beetlejuice again sometime. I
haven't seen that in years.
It's a solid one.
Yes. They should have done 4 of them. Should have made a franchise.
If it means more Michael Keaton... Fine, I'm fine with it. You know, I'll take Multiplicity 2 and 3. Just give me more Michael.
All right, how about this? How about they do the same template they did for the Batman movies with Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
So I swap out Val Kilmer and George.
Yeah, that's good.
As Beetlejuice late in the series, and see how it goes.
And I think Alicia Silverstone stuffed into a rubber suit.
Yeah.
All manner of folds are sprouting out and running out.
I think modern day Val Kilmer could do it. I think he'd pull it off.
I think so.
Yeah, he's
halfway there.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't picture Clooney, but I think Val Kilmer's Beetlejuice could be really interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. I had something. I'm apparently on a TV kick this week, so this is actually the opposite of your topic. At the end of Sherlock season 2, spoilers.
Yeah.
Sherlock jumps off a building.
Yeah.
And what I found conspicuous because it's premiering again on PBS this weekend, and so I've been going back and rewatching them. What was conspicuous to me about that whole thing is the paramedics are right there and they throw him on a gurney. They don't cover him in a sheet and they just run him off. So this is not covered in a sheet where a dead man who's just jumped off is just laying on a gurney dead, for everybody to see. And it's one of the strangest things about the show that in this second viewing that I found.
Maybe it's a clue and that's something.
I think there's plenty of clues
there.
Sign that
something was being set up for something.
I think the fact that there's a Sherlock season 3 lets you know something's up. But the fact that they just lay him on the gurney and run him off was very odd to me.
All right. Very nice. Speaking of which, that's coming. It's premiering pretty soon, stateside. So,
yeah, won't have much long, yeah, I think
that's about very nice. Won't have much longer to wait for Sherlock. All right. All right. That's it.
Well, right?
Oh, you got yours. Yes, go.
Yeah, well, mine.
I am, of course, I am.
Well, I'm going to go with E.T., the Halloween scene in E.T. when they dress him up like a ghost and he walks around.
Did I see that movie once?
Ever?
Yeah, I've only ever seen the movie once, too, when I was little.
What?
And I can't get that movie late. I get that movie a lot later than you'd think. So
it's phenomenal. Man. It's so good. I cry every time. Very crying good. Just thinking about it right now.
It established a evergreen fear of NASA for me, as we all know. So
yeah, I hate NASA species.
Although it's good. It's balanced, though, because you got, like, I mean, the NASA scientists are trying to help E.T. I mean, there's a whole scene with the one scientist who sees E.T. as this miracle, and he wants to help him. And so it's right. Dave, there's a lot of depth.
There's a lot of depth. Ah, I just don't know why I never got it more than once.
You should get it on Blu-ray. It looks great.
It's on Blu-ray? It is.
It's phenomenal.
I'm sure on record with a big meh about E.T.
See?
All right, nice. Tune in next week. That's our
big old meh.
Spoken like a true Broncos fan.
That's it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Doesn't change my feelings.
Then tune in next week. We have a knockdown drag. You know, actually, Peyton Manning's forehead does resemble E.T.'s forehead.
It does. No, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
All right. With that final really mature dig, we are done. Friday Filibuster. Thank you, Eric and Mac and Daryl. And Mac, take us away.
E.T. phone home.